Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBD Holdings PLC preliminary final results 2013 presentation hosted by Andrew Langford. My name is Adrian, I am the event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please press *0 on your telephone and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. And now I'd like to hand over to Andrew. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, Adrian. Good morning, everybody. I am Andrew Langford, and I'm the CEO of FBD Holdings. I'm delighted to welcome you all to FBD's full year results presentation, and I'm joined here by Cathal O'Queeve, our Group Finance Director. The running order, we have a presentation today, and the running order is that I will present the first 9 slides, and I'll hand over to Cathal, who presents slides 10 through to 13. And I will resume and finish by presenting slides 14 to 17. We'll open up for questions then, and firstly we'll open up to questions from people who are present in the room here today, and then we'll open the floor to those of you attending by the telephone. So I'm going to bring you through the presentation, and on slide 2 of the presentation, I'd just like to draw your attention to the fact that there are some forward-looking statements in our presentation today. And those forward-looking information, it always involves risk and uncertainties that could affect expected results. So to move on to page 3, and I'm going to spend a few minutes just going through the highlights of 2013 results. And our 2013 results are a very strong set of results, but for me the primary highlight is the fact that our top line has turned in 2013, and our gross written premium is up 2%, and that has been driven by new market initiatives which have delivered a growth in customer numbers and our first growth in full year premium since 2010. And that has resulted in our highest ever market share of 13.4%, because the insurance market we estimate is down between 4 and 5% for 2013. And as well as delivering that growth, we also managed to deliver strong profitability, and our combined operating ratio for the year was 94.1%, despite the fact that we did have an abnormally high large claims experience, which we'll talk about later. However, that was offset by a very strong investment return of 3.6% on our investment book, despite our low risk allocation. Our operating earnings per share was 136 cents per share, and our diluted EPS 131 cents. And that has resulted in an excellent return on equity of just under 18%, 17.3%, which we believe is a very favourable comparison with any insurer. Because we've managed to deliver such strong profitability, our financial strength again has been further bolstered in 2013. And as an insurer, that represents a cornerstone of what we offer, and it's very encouraging for our customers to know that if and when they need to call on us, that we will be in a position to put things right for them. As a result, our net asset value has increased to 823 cents per share, which is the second year in a row that our NAV has grown by 14%. And as a result, our solvency, as measured on a Solvency I basis, has strengthened to 78.1% of our net earned premium. Because of our financial strength and because of our confidence in the future, there's continuing good news for shareholders in that our full year dividend has been increased to 49 cents, which is growth of 16% for 2013, and that follows on from growth of 22.5% in 2012. On the bottom right-hand side of slide 3, we talk about how we managed to generate the top-line growth in a contracting market. And primarily that's because we managed to increase our focus on our core customers. So by the end of the year, we had more farms insured and we had more policies for farm, but we also managed to deliver growth from our newer growth areas, including no-nonsense and our panel of brokers. So in summary, 2013, we've delivered an excellent performance. We've delivered value for shareholders, which has resulted in our increased customer numbers, but we've also delivered again for shareholders with our dividend growth. And at the end of the year, we're in an even stronger financial position than we were at the start of the year. I'm going to move on to slide 4 now, and as always, we will talk about our performance in the context of the Irish economy and the Irish insurance market. From an economic perspective, the news is pretty good. economic activity in Ireland certainly turned around in the second half of 2013, and it possibly turned around faster than the insurance market had anticipated. This is a very welcome development, particularly following the peak in frost decline in domestic demand in Ireland of about 22.5% between 2008 and 2012. And certainly in the second half of the year, domestic demand was positive for the first time since 2007. The most encouraging news probably is the recent employment numbers that were released, and also consumer confidence is at its highest level than it has been for some time. The pickup in the economy is corroborated by our retail sales of automotive fuel chart, which we show as usual on the top right hand side of page 4, and we can see that after a sustained period of decline, the amount of fuel, i.e. diesel and petrol being sold, has picked up over the last 4 or 5 months, and that is very encouraging. In terms of the insurance industry, our own combined operating ratio for 2013 was 94%. In 2012, it was sub-90. But we have recently received figures from the Central Bank for the market combined operating ratio for 2012, which show that the market combined operating ratio was 109%. If anything, rates during 2013 possibly softened. There was some adverse weather, certainly in the latter half of the year, and it is likely that frequency increased towards the end of the year as economic activity increased also. So it is likely that the 2013 combined operating ratio is at least as bad as it was in 2012. The market, despite this, remains competitive, which is what led to the softening of rates, particularly for home insurance, and that is possibly because the market did not have any adverse weather for 2.5 or 3 years, but also for higher value business risks. However, encouragingly, there are early signs of the market hardening just before the UN, particularly in car insurance. To look at the claims environment, road deaths in Ireland, which had reduced year on year for the last 10 years, rose by 17% in 2013 to 190, which was from a very low base, and that's the first increase since 2005. A partial contributor to this is likely to be the increase in economic activity, which, as I said, is likely to result in increased claims frequency. And again, the fuel chart bears that out. And just as a deterioration in the economy led to a reduction in frequency, an improvement in the economy is likely to lead to an increase in the frequency. So we are delighted that there is evidence of an economic recovery, which is great news for Ireland, but great news for Irish companies like FBD. And also, we believe that with the market profitability as it is, the market rate should certainly rise. To move on to slide 5, and we just want to go into a little bit more detail, certainly as to why our top line performed as it did. And as we've spoken about before, FBD's business is now organized on a customer basis. And we look at three predominant customer segments: farm and business direct, brokers, and consumers. Farm and Business Direct represents 69% of our customer base, 47% relates to farmers and their other insurance needs, with the other 22% representing about 30,000 small businesses that FBD insure throughout the country. We had a very, very strong performance in this customer segment during 2013. We generated more customers and we generate more policies per customer, and that was as a result, particularly in the second half of the year, of dedicating extra resources and making some investments in technology and people in that customer segment. And I'm delighted to say that FBD at the end of 2013 had more farming customers than it ever has at any time in its history. Business insurance in that customer segment has been a little bit softer because it's predominantly rural and consumer facing, and those customers have had a very difficult time over the last 5 or 6 years, but we have protected our customer numbers in that segment, and there's no doubt that any improving economy will improve the fortunes of those customers, and our premium should benefit as a result. In terms of our relationships with brokers, they deliver about 9% of our premium income, and those relationships are developing very well, and our business written is up 30%, and there's some recent evidence. The Irish Brokers Association annual service awards were held 2 weeks ago, and FBD was awarded the top most improved insurer award for non-life and also the top supporting management team. Broker business accounted for 14% of all FBD's new business in 2013, and there's a graph on the top right hand side of the page shows how the proportion of new business being delivered through brokers has increased from 2008, when it was 4%, to now 14% of our new business. But also, in terms of business insurance, has increased from 12% to 62% of all new business insurance that FPD wrote in 2013. Consumer, which is our online offering to FPD and No Nonsense, but also our telephone offerings through our Mullingar Support Centre, also made progress. That represents about 22% of our business, and we made progress, particularly in our online offerings, where income was up 36%, and that mainly was due to car insurance. The repositioning of our No Nonsense brand with a ready-made comprehensive offering and our telematics product Smart Driver, which is a very innovative development, also helped deliver the growth. So we are continuing to outperform the market by continuing to meet the needs of more and more customers all the time. The most recent example of that was in quarter four when we launched Can Insurance, which will give us access to car insurance customers who buy through our panel of brokers. And that will be the first time that we've access to that, which represents maybe 40% of the Irish car insurance market. To move on to slide six and to look at our premium from a different perspective, and to look at our premium by looking at volume, rate and cover, we can see that our premium was up 2% in total to 351 million, while the market was down between 4 and 5%. And that's the 12th year in 13 that we've grown our market share. Now, to show how our premium evolved between the start and the end of the year, our volume was up 2.6%, and that's the first panel on the graphic on the top right-hand corner of slide six. And that was driven in all our customer segments, so in farm and business development, we had more farmers and we had more cars and jeeps per farm as well. We grew our number of business insurance policies through brokers, and also in our consumer segment, we grew the number of car insurance policies that we sold as well. Our average rate, which is the second panel, was marginally lower than it was in 2012, but there was an improvement in the second half. In that. So there's a small chart in the middle of slide six which shows how our average rate has evolved on a half-by-half basis, and you can see that our average rate was decreasing in the second half of 2012 and the first half in 2013, but in the second half of 2013, because of some rate actions taken during 2013, we can see that our average premium at the year end was actually rising, which is positive. Also, our cover and mix, which is the amount of cover that our customers are taking out from us, whether that be the rebuild cost of their house or the value of their car. Some of them might have bought new cars, but most of our customers, the average age of the Irish fleet is still probably reducing. And the encouraging thing is that our cover and mix has actually stabilised and is marginally up in 2013 over 2012, which follows a cumulative reduction of 15% from 2008, which was obviously as a result of the decline in domestic demand. So that is a very encouraging development. And if I look at the second half versus the first half particularly, our premium and our volume growth was much stronger in the second half of the year. And as I've said already, the momentum in our average rate was positive in the second half of the year. And while we grew in almost all segments of our business and all product types, home insurance is the one area where we contracted slightly last year. We're probably the second largest home insurer in the country and have close enough to 200,000 homes insured between farms and urban domestic houses. And we have maintained our underwriting discipline, where in the last couple of years, some of our competitors have been reducing rates, possibly because there hasn't been much in the way of bad weather. We would expect that to reverse, and hopefully in 2014, with the launch of a new product in May, but also in the anticipation of some market changes, that trend should be reversed. So all in all, we've continued to outperform the market quite significantly. And that can be shown then on slide 7 on our market share. So the two graphics on the top of slide 7 show the degree to which we've outperformed the market since the year 2000. And if you look at the main panel on slide 7, you can see that FPD's market share has now grown to 13.4%, which is a continuation of our steady, consistent profitability by focusing on our core customers but growing in new segments. And a lot of the investments that we've made in recent years in our capabilities are paying off. But the encouraging aspect to note is that while that growth, it's all been organic, stable, consistent, but also while we've managed to outperform the market in terms of profitability also. On slide 8, we're going to talk about claims, which is obviously a key driver of the profitability of FBD's business. And our loss ratio for the year was 67.9% of our income. For the first half of the year, it was 69%. For the second half of the year, has been marginally better. Our attritional claims have continued to improve to 49.2% from 50.7% in 2012, and that is a result of all the actions we have taken in terms of risk selection, claims management, anti-fraud, etc. To look at the other element of our claims, of our loss ratio, which is the combined cost of severe weather and large claims, after 2 years where we were under our 7-year average, which is can be shown there in the red line going across the chart on the top right hand on the top right hand side of slide 8. In 2013, we were about 2 percentage points above that 7-year average, and that was primarily driven by a small number of very large accident and liability claims, which obviously are volatile by nature. So the delta between 2013 and 2012 for those categories of claims is 4%. As I said, we were 2% above a 7-year average, and we believe that over time the proportion of claims resulting from severe weather and large claims will revert to norm, which is about 16.5%. We have been protected again by our reinsurance treaty, so any variability in those types of claims, whether it be severe weather or very large personal accident claims, are relatively low retention rates protect our earnings, protect our shareholders relative to the risks that our competitors are running. And at the end of 2013, there was a significant amount of flood damage throughout the country, and the risk tools that we have deployed in terms of geo-mapping, geocoding, etc., have certainly curtailed the impact of that damage to FBD. Just to show on the bottom right-hand side the degree of the unusual nature of the large accident and liability claims, if we talk about claims that have a net cost of over 1 million, the cost to FBD in 2013 was almost 20 million euro, as opposed to a 9-year average of about 9 million euro. So it's quite significantly different. It relates to a small number of very severe catastrophic type personal injury claims. On slide 9 then, we talk about our financial services and joint venture, property and leisure joint venture businesses. Our financial services, which includes our premium installment services for those customers, insurance customers who decide to pay their premium by installment, and also our life and pensions broking subsidiary FD Financial Solutions, less the cost of FD Holdings, the company itself. The profit for those operations was 6.4 million compared to 5.6 million last year. That increase is primarily due to the fact that there's more and more customers are taking out premium installment services. The market for life pension investments broken business lines continue to be very, very challenging, and FD Financial Solutions is the largest retail brokerage in Ireland, and it meets the needs of many of our farm and business direct customers. In terms of property and leisure joint venture, which represents a 50% share of the property and leisure operations in Ireland and Spain, that FBD Holdings used to own 100%, the trading performance in those operations improved pretty considerably compared to 2012, which is very encouraging. The primary driver behind that was the growth in occupancy rates, particularly in the Irish market and within the Irish market, particularly in the Dublin market. Part of that is due to increased visitor numbers into Ireland, but part of it is due to the improvement of the domestic economy, which sees people much happier to spend on meetings, investments, conferences, etc., and also on food and beverage, and on leisure breaks. Also encouraging, the market for Irish hotel assets has improved very significantly over 2013, and there's been improving operational performance in the market as a whole, but there's also been higher multiples attributed to those in terms of property valuations. During the year, the joint venture sold its remaining units in Latala, and in terms of the bottom line, our own share of the joint venture profits was 1.3 million compared to a loss of 1.7 million in 2012, so that's a quite considerable turnaround. I'm going to pass over now, as I said, to Cathal, who will speak to slides 10, 11, 12, and 13 before passing back to me.
Thanks, Andrew, and good morning, everybody. On slide 10, we set out the allocation of assets at December 2013 and the comparable figures at the end of 2012. And the point I think that the slide is making is that we have maintained the prudent management of our investment assets. Predominantly we do this by maintaining a low allocation to long-dated bonds. Okay? That means that we accept essentially a lower return for short-dated bonds, but we avoid the risk associated with dropping values of bonds when interest rates rise. Okay? Despite this, we've had a very strong return on investment. Our investments delivered a return of 3.6% in 2013, okay, which is up 18% on the previous year. The return that has been delivered by this low-risk allocation was helped significantly by the strong performance of our equity book, which represents 8.5% of our assets, and also, of course, by the fact that they by our decision not to invest in long-dated bonds. Going into 2014, SPD intends to maintain its prudent management of the investment assets so as to protect customers and shareholders. Moving on then to slide number 11. Firstly, if I could refer to the bottom right-hand graphic, which shows the evolution of our net asset value over the last number of years. And I think that is very pleasing to see the seventh consecutive results in which we're showing growth in this chart at 823 cents. Net asset value per share is up 14%, and that's the second consecutive year in which we've achieved 14% growth in net asset value per share. This gives SPD a very strong capital base, and that's indicated by the Solvency I solvency level of 78.1% of net earned premium, which is up from 73.8% in the at the end of the previous year. Also, in respect of Solvency II, I can say that we have excess capital over the Solvency II requirement. Overall, what that chart is saying is that we're in a position of considerable financial strength, which is good, obviously, for shareholders and customers. Moving on to slide number 12 now. Slide 12 looks at our reserves and the runoff of our reserves over historic periods. And it shows that we've had a positive runoff of 47 million in 2013. And that means we've had a positive runoff now every year since 2003. And that's backed up by a healthy surplus over the actuary's best estimate. The point of the slide is to say that we're in a robust reserves. Our reserves are robust. Moving on to slide number 13, our full year dividend was announced at 49 cents, an increase of 16%, and this follows growth in 2012 of 22%. It's in the long-term interest of all stakeholders to maintain strong solvency and liquidity margin, and FPD is committed to a progressive dividend policy and efficient capital management. The dividend represents a further step towards FPD's target of a 40% to 50% operating payout ratio. The chart on the bottom right-hand corner shows a 10-year progression of the payout ratio, and we see it shows, firstly, that we have been tending to increase pushing the payout ratio up over the years. In the early years, you must remember there was also significant special dividends, but also the chart shows that by jumping to 46% in 2009, the willingness to keep dividend rising in a progressive fashion, even when the earnings were influenced by severe weather events. So I suppose overall it shows the dividend is a further significant increase in dividends, and there is the potential for a progressive dividend policy into the future years. I'm now going to hand back to Andrew. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Cathal. On slide 14,
we have a slide that we've included for the first time. And the purpose behind the slide is to try and show some of the reasons why FPD have been so successful over the last number of years, which have obviously been very difficult years for the Irish economy, and also to show that FPD is continuing to increase the pace of investment that it is making in its business to allow it to grow more in the future, particularly as the economy picks up. So we have just laid out number one, by the type of customer, and then beneath, in terms of the type of capabilities that we've been building, we have laid out some of the investments that FPD have made over the last 5 years to allow us to reach more customers. And I think we can see that those results are paying off. And as I said, if you can see the amount of change taking place in 2012 and 2013, I think what this slide shows is that the pace of the amount of investments that we are making is actually increasing. And I'm not going to go through each of those investments one by one, but I guess what it shows is the order of the changes we're making, and I think that you can follow through. If you go through each of them, you can follow through the results that are showing in our figures this year and last year, and also will show in 2014. And some of those investments are hugely significant in terms of cost and in terms of people. Then to move on to slide 15 and to the outlook, and I think the most positive news we have is that there are initial signs of recovery in the Irish economy, and I think it's safe to say that FPD is more confident about the Irish economy today than it has been at any time in the last 6 or 7 years, and certainly the resulting growth from that economic recovery is going to be very, very positive for FPD in terms of our top line and in terms of our ability to generate returns into the future. It's fair to say, I think, that the turnaround or the inflection point from when the economy was declining to when the economy started to improve was probably a little bit faster than the insurance market had anticipated. And while an increasing economy is nothing but good news for FPD in the medium term and for the insurance market, that increased economic activity will lead to a slightly higher claims frequency in 2014. And just as there was a lag when the economy slowed down, there was a lag between frequency reducing and rates reducing, there will also be a lag between frequency increasing and market premiums increasing as well, which will have a short-term impact on our profitability this year, and because of the nature of the way of our income is earned, probably early next year as well. We believe that market rates should rise, although we can't guarantee it. We can only talk about what we are going to do ourselves on rates, but given the scale of the profitability challenges facing the industry, and add to that the extent of weather losses between Christmas time and 2 weeks ago, and the impact of increased frequency, I think the market rates really have to rise. Again, I can't guarantee that they will, but certainly everything that we're seeing means they will have to rise, and there are some signs early this year that they are. The February windstorm, Storm Darwin, will cost the insurance industry up to €130 million, and FPD, it is a windstorm, which means it will affect our customers proportionally more given the nature of the risk, and the areas that it will hit are areas that we will be particularly strong in. However, the cost is certainly going to be within our annual budget for catastrophe events. In total, if you look at the cost of severe weather and large claims we are expecting, they were a little bit higher than norm last year. The previous 2 years, they were beneath norm, and over time, we think that they will revert to norm. But also the weather before Storm Darwin, the weather for the previous 4 or 5 weeks, as all of us living in Ireland can testify to, was relentlessly bad, and that will lead to a cost of industry claims for 2014 and FPD claims as well. However, our attrition claims we're going to continue to control very, very tightly, and any increase in rates will improve our attrition loss ratio also. And again, if you look at our plans into 2014, we are committed to growing again and outperforming the industry again by continuing using some of the investments that I spoke about on the previous slide, continuing to deliver products and services that matter to our farming and business direct customers, increasing urban market penetration, particularly in Dublin, through No Nonsense and through FB.ie, and also increasing our business and car insurance premium in partnership with brokers. So I believe that these will allow us to outperform the market this year and continue to deliver superior returns to shareholders. And subject to no further exceptional events arising, we're guiding full year 2014 operating EPS of 120 to 130 cents.
just for the last two slides, I'd like to just talk about FBD and our track record particularly. And we have a track record, and we have a 5 years history here of outperforming our peers and delivering returns in very difficult market conditions. And as I said, we are hopeful those market conditions will improve. On the top left-hand side, we can see the evolution in our market share growth. So we've grown from 11.5% to 13.4% in the last 5 years. If you look at the slides on the right-hand side of that page, you can see that we've outperformed the industry from a profitability perspective too, so and we've delivered very strong returns for shareholders. And in turn, that converts into the bottom left-hand side of that page into the amount that we can return to shareholders by way of dividend. And you can see a very strong increase in dividends, and our dividend is up from 30 cents in 2009 to 49 cents for 2013. So we're delivering value for our customers, and by doing so, it enables us to deliver superior returns for our shareholders. Then a summary, I guess, of the results. As I said already, the insurance market in Ireland is definitely facing a profitability challenge, and on top of that has incurred weather losses over the last 2 months, and it will see an increase in claims frequency due to the economic recovery. And as a result of that, there should be rate adjustments, but the speed and the extent of those will depend on how our competitors behave and what their priorities are. I can only talk about FBD, and as I've shown on the last page, we have a very strong record. We have a robust underwriting business with a strong core franchise, but also with significant growth opportunities to be made big investments in. Fundamentally, for an insurer, we have a very strong capital base and balance sheet and a prudent reserving strategy, which Cathal demonstrated by virtue of our runoff. And to look at the other elements of our balance sheet, we have a low-risk investment allocation, which we believe is not just prudent, but it's most appropriate on a risk-reward basis, and that positions us to benefit from rising yields. So as we look into 2014, we've shown that the investments we've made have been paying off, and as the economy can improve, we will increase that investment to maximise FBD's potential, and we're going to continue to seek opportunities for sustainable growth and profitability, which will allow us to deliver superior returns to shareholders, and will allow us to continue to move to our target of 40 to 50% of our dividend ratio. So we believe that FBD is well positioned and better positioned today than it ever has been to deliver long-term profitable growth to our shareholders. So that concludes the presentation. And we move to questions and answers now, if that's okay. And we'll take questions and answers from those of you who are here in the room first. And if you wouldn't mind stating your name and your company just for the benefit of the people on the line, and pressing the little talk button before you ask any questions as well. So do we have any questions?
Hi, Kieran Callahan from Marion Capital. First question, could I ask you about the sharper than expected turnaround in the economy and the virus impact on claims? Was there any particular areas of business that has impacted worse than others? Is it an FBD specific problem, or is it an industry wide one? And then I had a second question just on capital. You mentioned you're still strong on Solvency II basis. Just your thoughts on maybe the potential for special dividends in 2016. Thanks.
Thanks, Kieran. I'll answer the first question, and I'll hand the second one over to Cathal. Just in terms of the turnaround of the economy and the speed of that turnaround, I think I just pointed to two charts, Kieran, to look at that. One is on slide four, the chart on the top right-hand side of it, and the second chart to maybe look at in conjunction with it is on slide six, the average change in our rates. Okay, so just in terms of the turnaround of the economy, you know, we've got used to, and everyone in Ireland and everyone in the insurance industry has been used to a constant reduction in terms of domestic demand, okay? And I guess that gets into space where you find it hard to believe that any turnaround is going to happen at all, no matter what people are saying, because there's been talk of growth for so long. But we did see in the second half of this year an increase in domestic demand, which is what we look at most closely as a proxy for risk in our own business. And that probably took the industry a little bit by surprise. And what I mean by that is when we are taking on a risk, we're taking on a risk for the next 365 days. So if we're striking a premium for your car or whatever, we're pricing the risk that you're going to take for the next 365 days, not the last 365 days. And as the economy improves
And you can see by those retail sales of automotive fuel, you can see that the increase in volume in petrol and diesel that's been sold. That means people are driving more, and we can all see it. We can all see it as we're driving around. You guys going to work so early that you might notice any difference, but certainly you can see a big change in the volumes of traffic. Now that is going to result in, and it's certainly not an FBE specific issue, that will result in an increased number of accidents. Also, there's more people in shops, so there'll be more people tripping and falling, there's more people in pubs, restaurants, nightclubs, so that all results in accidents. So it's not an FBE specific issue, and in fact, if you look at the last 6 months of the year, we have only begun to see a small increase towards the end of the year in terms of frequency of injury claims. If you look at our damage claims, it's actually stayed very, very flat, maybe with a very slight increase. So there's nothing that's happened yet, if you know what I mean, but it's begun to happen and it will have an impact on this year. So you can see that we did begin to increase the rates we charged in the second half of last year, and I think I would have said when we were sitting here 6 months ago, that we put through some change in August, September and October, and that is what has changed that line. And now we're in reflection that we saw this change, but it'll always take, you will always be catching up to some degree, because as I said, the rate you're charging somebody today is for the next 365 days. So it's not going to be a huge issue unless the economy absolutely takes off very, very quickly, which I don't predict. I don't think it's going to be a massive issue, but it will take some time for the industry to price in the impact of increasing costs. So it's definitely not an FBD issue, it's an industry-wide issue. And the types of accidents, it's on the road, but it's also liability. So workplace, employer liability, and public liability, which is people slipping, tripping, falling, and all that type of stuff, okay? So, Colin, there's a second question here I had there on Solvency II.
Thanks, Kieran. Let me see. In terms of capital, I suppose the first thing is that it's in everybody's interest that we maintain strong solvency and liquidity margins, and we certainly intend to do that. Okay. I think the second thing then is that if we're very profitable and we have a payout ratio of 40% to 50%, then that indicates that we're obviously retaining some. And the first thing, and the thing we'd like to do with that those funds first, is to actually have growth and to deliver a very strong return on equity on a growing business as well, and that'll be the priority. Okay, in the event that we don't have an opportunity to invest those funds, we're very aware of the need to be efficient from a capital perspective, and we certainly will look at having specials. So we're interested in the concept. I'm not going to answer specifically whether we intend to have any in 2016, like you asked. Okay, what I will say to you is that Solvency II is becoming clearer. In Q4, there was a big step forward in that, where we got a lot more specification about how Solvency II should be calculated, but it's far from clarified, and there are certainly there are a number of decisions that need to be made yet, and of course, when you get a big load of new rules, the first thing is, well, how do you interpret these is something that the European industry is going to have to resolve over a period. So I expect it will take some time, and what I'd say is that you can expect us to be prudent, okay, but to be very aware of our need to be efficient from a capital management perspective, and to ensure that at all times the group is has very strong solvency levels.
Emmett Gaffney in Investec. Just a few questions, if I may. Firstly, on investment returns, just looking to see what you're pricing in at the moment and what your expectations are for the coming year. To touch on the dividend then again, in terms of your progressive policy, is it in growing the payout ratio from 36, or is the focus on growing the absolute dividend, in which case there could be some variability in the payout ratio depending on earnings in any given year? And then the last question is that, just given the competitive backdrop, could there be scope to actually increase rates by proportionally more than the expected increase in claim frequency, which could actually be beneficial for your attritional ratio? Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much. Just in terms of investment returns, I think it's fair to say that our performance last year was pretty extraordinary, and to deliver 3.6% doesn't sound like a huge figure, but given the rate of returns that were available out there, and given the low-risk nature of our balance sheet, was something we were happy with.
But even last year, we weren't pricing. When we build our pricing model, just like the risk we're taking for the next 365 days, the investment returns that we build in is what we will earn over the lifetime of the liabilities that we will generate when taking on a premium. And I think our current rate of 1.25% is what we're pricing when we take in. So that's what we're pricing as we. It's very slightly, so liability we will, because it's longer tail and the nature of the investments might be a little bit different, but overall it's 1.25% of what's built into our pricing model. And in terms of our dividend then, I think what we've committed to is going on a payout ratio to 40 to 50%, and certainly as we look forward, you know, we've got to 36% in terms of our payout ratio there, so we're quite close to that. And I think then, you know, what we're looking for is to have a dividend policy that is very closely related to our business model, which is, you know, if it talks about growth, which talks about growing in a sustainable fashion, and we would like over time our dividend line to mimic that. So if our growth trajectory is something like that, we're not going to be making profits in a straight line like that, because the profitability by the nature of weather events or the lack of weather events or large claims will go up and down, but we will aim to have a profit trajectory going through that like that, and we would like our underlying dividends to mimic that once we get to the payout rates that we're talking about. In terms of increasing rates, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens to the market, but one thing we won't be doing is being overly opportunistic in terms of if rate increases go up. We know what rate we want to price to make sure that we're delivering a sustainable price to our customers over time. If some of our competitors increase rates very, very severely, it means the volume we will take on that will be greater. If some of them, if they choose to remain very, very competitive, we won't take as much volume on as we'd like, which is what happened in home insurance. So I don't see us as being unduly opportunistic, and we will try and price to what we think is the right combined ratio.
Amy Hughes and Dubai. Maybe just two questions, which kind of one feeds on from the other. Just maybe a bit of colour around plan insurance progress in Q4 and trying to attract more brokers, if that's possible. And I think you mentioned Andrew as well, new products in home potentially in May, I think is what you said. So maybe some kind of colour around that. And then actually the market share improvement in the year, I think last time we were in, or for the last while, you've kind of been talking broadly a market share target of about 15%. Has that been updated, given maybe developments in the market or the pace of improvement in 2013, that you could go a little bit higher?
Okay, thanks very much. In terms of volume, first of all, plan insurance is a new way for us of doing business, okay? So plan insurance is, as I said, between 40 and 45% of car insurance customers continue to buy through a broker. And they are, by and large, the same type of customers that we would traditionally take on. Mind you, we're taking them on through a different channel, okay? So we have to always be more and more careful. So what we'll be looking at doing is, you know, the number of parts we have in Clan is probably still less than 1,000, okay? First of all, we have only rolled out to one group of brokers. Brokers use different software houses, okay? There's three different software houses, and we've only rolled out to the main software house Relay first. So the number of brokers we have access to is limited, but we'll be learning to make sure that the underwriting rules that we have in that channel are appropriate, and you know, there's no difference between that channel and the type of customers you normally take on directly or over the internet. So we'll be making sure before we look to go very, very strong, you know, we'll be making sure that the type, we're very comfortable with the type of risk we're underwriting. So in terms of volume numbers, that's not going to be a big contributor volume this year. Okay, so as I said, it's probably still less than 1,000 policies and it's been going for 4 or 5 months, you know. But so again, it is something that we'll be looking to make sure that the growth we're getting, there's no point in getting 25,000 policies and realizing 6 or 9 months down the line that they're all exactly the policies you didn't want to like, you didn't want. So we've got very heavy QA, very heavy intervention on the type of stuff that's coming through, and we're looking at it and monitoring it to make sure it is exactly the type of risk we want. But so it really is building that capability for the future.
In terms of home insurance, as we said, home insurance has been, we believe, underpriced by the market, and we are a very large player in home insurance, and we have lost some volume over the last couple of years because of that, because our rates have been a little bit higher than the market. We believe our rates are right. So last year we've taken some actions in terms of product, in terms of communication, and in terms of discounts, offers, etc., that have reduced the leakage we've had in home. This year we are launching a full new home insurance product which has a better no claims discount, which is aimed at having a higher retention rate of better customers. Okay, so it's going to be a better product, and hopefully market rates will move up, which will allow us increased volume in that as well. But so it is aimed, even without any change in rates, it's aimed at improving our retention, okay, and making new business easier to write as well. In terms of market share improvement, I think we're still going to stay focused on, achieving our 15% in the next 2 or 3 years. That's really what we're focused on. After that, we'll see. But we're certainly not going to, because of some developments in the market, we're not going to change what we're doing in the short term. We're going to stick with what we're doing and make sure that we get to where we want to get to in the right way. Okay, are there any other questions in the room? No? Well, if that's the case, we'll open. Is there anybody who's on the telephone that would like to ask a question?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. Just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. The first question comes from the line of Sammy Altolas of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Sammy from Berenberg here. Thanks for taking my question. First one on costs. Could you just give us a bit more visibility of how you're thinking about the cost ratio for the next year? I guess we'll have some increase in volumes, but you mentioned something about potentially increasing investment in operations as well. And then 2 bits on capital. First of all, what is the kind of outstanding uncertainty of a Solvency II here? I can't really see how your business relates to any of the major issues in the regulation. And second, and this is a bit of a speculative one, if you were to sell your property JV, would there be any reason for holding on to that capital from the sale? Thank you.
Okay, Simon. Listen, apologies. The technology is letting us down a little bit, so we might not be able to hear you quite as well as you can hear us. So I hope I'm answering the right question, but I'll try. So the first question, if I understand, I might just rephrase them, is around the cost ratio, and you were asking, I think, is there any downside to our cost ratio given the increased investments we're making? And the answer to that is we have taken many actions on our costs over the last 2 or 3 years, which have taken costs out of the business, and I guess we're replacing those with what we would believe are more productive costs in terms of allowing us to make that investment. So I think our cost number in 2014 might be slightly up on 2013, but very, very marginally, and you know, any increase is probably going to be somewhat offset by improved reinsurance commission rates we're getting. So it's flat-ish. And we are aiming to increase our net written, our premium, which should have a positive effect on the denominator as well. So our cost ratio should improve. In terms of capital, certainly, the last part of that question, if we were to sell our interest in the property JV, would we need to hold on to it? I think the answer to that is that we would not have any particular need to hold on to that, and certainly not. We would not be reinvesting it in property manager assets, and the hope, the stated objective of the JV is for us to make sure that we generate as much from that investment as we can for shareholders, but that we are aiming to exit over time. Your more general question on capital and around Solvency II, I must admit, is the one that we missed a little bit more, unless Carl was clear on what you're asking. No, Carl was not clear on what you're asking, so Sammy, would you mind, and Adrian, if you can facilitate Sammy asking that question again?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you, yep.
Yeah, so the question was, what are the specific uncertainties on Solvency II that affect FBB? I mean, if you look at the kind of more simplistic ratios, premiums to net, tangible net asset value to premiums is one of the highest in Europe. The investment portfolio is very conservative. You have a lot of reinsurance. I guess the pension fund might be the only issue, really. I'm just a little bit confused about what the uncertainty is here.
Thanks, Sammy. I think you're right to pick one, which is the DB scheme, okay, and the stressing of the assets is the DB scheme, and then the other one is the deferred tax treatment. So they're the primary one. There are lesser ones as well, but they're the primary ones.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Aidan, do we have any other questions on the telephone?
There are no questions at the moment, but just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone.
Okay, Adrian?
No more questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Adrian. Well, I think thank you very much all for your attendance and thanks very much for your support. And I think that brings to conclusion our 2013 preliminary results presentation. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for the day. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a very good day.